E1, number 14B.
And naturally, you can see the answer and say, well, here life provides the ideas with all ideas. With all ideas. Therefore, with all ideas of mind, and with all ideas of spirit, and all ideas of soul, and principle, and life, and truth, and love. It's not just that life provides full stop. It only indicates that fundamental fact in being, that the principle of being here as life maintains, sustains, upholds all ideas, floods the realm of ideas with all what life has. But what is that flood? It's the flood of the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit and soul, principle and life, truth and love. And you can see that therefore innate or embedded in this law is naturally the whole extension of that law through the seven. Quite apparently. So I point this out so that it just doesn't become a formula that is meaningless, that one just repeats. It's a good thing to know how to eternalize an idea, because, say, a true idea comes into your life, then the opposite of the law here is the argument that everything good that comes into our life is short-lived. We always fear that we can lose it. We always fear that it comes and goes. We always fear that it is of short time. That all the good that comes is just a rare occasion. It's the fear that all the good we have could be taken away from us. It's the opposite here of this life is that law is that something good that comes to us will not last very long. That it has no eternal existence. And therefore, that we have to sustain it, we have to take the place of life, that we have to sustain and maintain it, and that we, as love, have to mother it and cherish it. And we drag it right down to the point where we believe that we can eternalize an idea. So this law in the reverse sense, in its counterfeit sense, is an argument that besets every one of us, day in and day out. Everyone is somehow latently, consciously or unconsciously afraid that our health could be taken away, our wealth could be taken away, our job can be taken away, that we can lose our friends, that we can lose our life, that we can lose the good we have. We are constantly on that brink where we never quite know, will that which is valuable to us stay with us or wane away, wither away? Don't you have that feeling? You see, we touch with these laws, we touch really the fundamental life practice. See, not only some kind of disease which we may have to meet with, here we come to the real life practice. There where everyone is its own practitioner about the deep-rooted false arguments that are quite universal. So this law will help us to see that when an idea comes to us, that this idea is really from life, therefore eternalized by life. We bring it right back to its origin, say that idea hasn't come from my mind, from my mortal mind, from my human mind, from my thinking, from my imagination, from my inventions. It is an idea that has come from life itself, and therefore life will see to it that life is eternalizing its idea. And it is always embedded in love, and therefore always protected. Did you ever hear of people who always have to do protective work? You know, that kind of group of people that day in and day out are afraid and do protective work. They do protective work for everything. I don't know for what. Everything has to be protected. And if they don't protect it, God will not protect it. Well, here we find another law. Here we find the law of Christian Science, and not the law of mental argument. We find the law of absolute Christian Science and Christianity, where we see that all what we have to do is to maintain that consciousness which goes out from principle, and see that that principle is life and love. Life constantly flooding the whole universe with all what mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love has. And love constantly protecting, preserving, maintaining and embracing and accepting and caring all what mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love has given. So we bring the law back to life and love, and let life and love take care of the whole situation. But life and love are capitalized terms. And as they are capitalized terms, they are life for every situation and love or protection for every situation. They are big enough to take care of everything. And so we don't always have to go back to that sense to protect every little thing. By the way, who is the church to know what has to be protected and preserved and what should really go down the drain? Who is that church? Usually it's the human mind. Usually it's a good intention of the human mind, a good judgment of the human mind, but that's not good enough for us. If the Lord build not the house, we better don't build it. So let the synonymous term determine what has to be given and given and given, and let the synonymous term love determine what has to be protected and protected and protected. And then we know that the true idea will be protected and not something wrong, which is usually the case. Yeah, these are these terrific laws.
Could you say that this operates simultaneously?
Yes. Now, yes, that's a good question. Actually, life and love are not the sequence. Again, they are two tones at once. The moment you have life that maintains or that, say, feeds, in that moment you have love that really nurtures. You plant and you guard at once, because life and love have no time sense. They are not coming one after the other. They are just in being. They are built in, into being. And all what we have to see is that they are related to itself in a specific way. Here they are related, life and love, in a specific way, namely in the way to eternalize the ideas. Whereas in life, truth and love, life and love have a different office, are differently related, and so fulfill a completely different task. Yes, this is just to go back to it again, so let's make that very clear, that life, truth and love in the world are not a sequence where you have an origin and then a flowing out of the origin and then a fulfillment of the origin. That would be a sequence. Life, truth and love are one chord. In other words, it is life, truth and love, meaning the impelling force, the impelling creative force is true and is complete. When you come to truth, life and love, as a Christ, in absolute Christian science, and you have truth, life and love, also as a chord, not as a sequence. Again, it's not the sequence that you say you have a computer with all the information stored up there, and then a scanner that goes over it and then brings out that which is necessary. It's just that in one go, in one consciousness, we can see that the one truth by itself is infinitely individualized as infinite truth adapted to the situation, love. So that we constantly feel that whatever we do, and by saying whatever we do, I say all the individualized situations are always under that law, and so I feel within myself whatever I do is under that dictate of the Christ, which says, for every situation I give the right answer. And here in Christianity, as we said, life and love act simultaneously again. We cannot give anything without that love takes it in and welcomes it. They go hand in hand. Or else there would be a time lack in between, and then there would be danger. Yes? Isn't that a terrific law? See, that law which we need so much, because everybody, you know, seems going through life like on a rope over the Niagara Falls. He never knows if he falls down, and goes over the edge. He's on the brink, walking along a brink. Nobody really knows if he's here tomorrow or not. Nobody really knows if he's kicked out of the job tomorrow or not. Nobody really knows what's happening to the family tomorrow or not. What's happening to our health or not. That's the human mortal situation, the mortal situation which is constantly on that brink of to be or not to be. That is the question. But here it isn't a question, to be or not to be. Here the question is to be. It's really that law of life and love, which says all what principle brings forth as an idea is provided by life and protected and preserved by love. So there is no fear, no incertitude, no instability, but only that certainty of the idea. That the idea will go on. That the idea will go on. That's the law here. And so we can see that we can take this statement out of its atomistic sense, that the idea will go on and say, but how? What is the structure within which, what is the frame of reference within which the idea can go on? And the next system of reference here is life and love. Yes. Oh yes, sometimes you say, is it also love and life? Huh? Yes, it is. You see, there are wonderful combinations. You can, because there are two parallel tones, you can have them both way, and you can see, yes, love really is that which accepts what? Accepts what life provides. Huh? Love is that which welcomes all what life maintains. So that love is really, you can look out from love and say, love is that which takes in what life gives. Well, love is life and life is love. Huh? Okay. Can we go on to the next? Okay. Yes, but remember, huh? Just as that sideline, which doesn't really belong to this law, but that you remember that life here, as that which provides, huh, is only the ability, say, of projecting, of giving, of providing. But when you ask what, don't just say, well, life, huh? The abundance of life. Well, what is abundance of life? The abundance of mind, the abundance of spirit, the abundance of soul, the abundance of principle, the abundance of life, the abundance of truth, the abundance of love. That's what life provides here. Can you see how your thought begins to interact and interface various categories? Hmm? We'll do that more and more as we go on. First, at the beginning, we just come to the bare laws, huh? Without yet seeing the enormous interfacing or intertwining of categories. Interfacing is okay? No?
Interlacing.
Interlacing, yes. Interlacing. Uh-huh. What is an interfacing?
Interfacing is a thing.
Oh. I'm not quite sure if you're right. I'm not quite sure. I have heard that term used in the scientific field. Yeah? Where two things which have each one identity can be interfaced. You see that they come together, huh? That they become synchronized into each other. Huh? That's not interlacing, interfacing. Ah, okay. Intertwining, you said, or what did you say?
Interlacing or intertwining.
Intertwining, yes, interlacing. Okay. Let's have laces instead of faces. Synchronizing, yes. Hmm?
Yeah. Well, we have exercises for these two.
Exercises. In which way you mean exercises?
Well, like we have in words, life is love.
Yes. Well, that's really the exercise that you entertain that consciousness, huh? That the constant impulsion of life is constantly impelling itself as the true impulsion, which really is right from the beginning, fulfilled and perfect, and that I can't see another exercise in that way, except when we come to the law of interdependence, of life, truth and love with the Word in Christian Science. Then you get a lot of exercises. So at this point I wouldn't see what we could do more than to entertain that law. So we come to the next one, namely to what? To science, to science in absolute Christian science. So the criteria there is, see, that we have a principle and its relationship or translation to the point of infinite ideas. And now the focal point is really on what? The feedback, this here. This feedback is now the focal point. Namely, to bring the idea right back into its principle. Because science is always that which says there is no process sense in time, there is no sense that a origin or a cause impels something to bring about, like in the word. In the science you see that everything is within its principle. And so we begin to ask ourselves, what is then the relationship when the ideas are in principle? Can you see that? Mrs. Eddy puts them into these two categories of truth and love. Combination which she uses very often in the textbook, Truth and Love. Leaving out life, because life has here no more place value, because life, we have seen, is that which brings out something and goes and maintains something. But if the idea is brought back to its principle, there is no more necessity to bring out something. So, life here just shows that life, there is no impulsion of life anymore. The facts are. See, you begin to realize what Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. He always referred back, especially in John, in the Gospel of John, that everything was before the world was. That it gives a sense that actually what was being shown here in the Word and the Christ and Christianity is only a slow motion picture representation of something that is being in being, that has a state of being in being. I could explain it like this. Say, you certainly find that through an impulsion a new idea comes to you. And you say, I have seen a new idea. Or that you say, I have discovered something. Or you say that I have invented something new. And that's the way it appears to the human mind. But actually, that invention has existed since ever. That discovery was only discovering what has existed since ever. Nothing is new under the sun. Before Abraham was, I am. Meaning that everything that seems to be like something like an invention or discovery isn't a discovery. It's only a revelation of something that has ever been, since time immemorial been. And so science comes along with truth and love and says nothing has been created by life. No newness of life has been created by life. Everything was already a fact, truth. In love, in its completion.